CliffCentral.com. Good morning. Hello, it's the 26th of September, and Nola just arrived. Gord's on his way, Gareth's on his way, Sia is on his way. Nola, you're looking very happy this morning.
Happy? Do I really?
Well, sorry. There's a big smile on your face. What other word would you like to use?
But Benny, you know I smile every day. Happy or not.
Nola, that is a wonderful quality. It is a Wednesday, and did you know it is Albinism Awareness Month this month? Yeah, so we're going to be chatting to Simba Gozo later. So he was a former co-host of the Casper radio show. Now, that is every Friday. Now, Casper, we always said, has his team of crazies. Simba was one of the original guys, super funny dude. But, yeah, just doing amazing things in awareness for albinism. Now, well, I won't get into the full story here. I'll let Gareth get into it a little bit later. But Gord Laws, yeah, he'll be here in a sec as well. We've had a little bunch of listener emails, which I'm just trying to get through. Here's one from Ryan. Hey, guys. Yesterday, you were chatting about the opportunity to travel to the moon in a few years' time, and Mark Shuttleworth's name was mentioned. My question is, where is Mark Shuttleworth in the world? Sorry. Where is Mark Shuttleworth in the world right now, and what is he up to? I've not heard from him in a long time. He was a fucking legend once upon a time. Thanks for the awesome show. I'm now a new listener and love the podcast. Greetings from Ryan in Berlin. Ryan, that's actually a very good question. Now, of course, with when he did the whole cosmonaut space, all that kind of stuff, like, it wasn't really even an option. He just kind of knew the right Russians and kind of knew the right people and said, look, I've got a truck ton of money, not because I'm a trust fund kid, it's because I want to go to space. I want to learn things. I want to kind of take things to the next frontier. And then after that, only then did we sort of see Elon Musk come to prominence and obviously Virgin with their space stuff. And things have really kicked on since then. I don't know where he is, actually. You're right. But that's the thing. Like, when you make your money, like a fair chunk of it, and you kind of don't want the sort of adulation or the acclaim or all that kind of attention stuff, then you do sort of do your own thing. I know he wanted to, like, basically read books for a couple of years. So maybe he's doing that currently. Yeah. Nola, if you had all the money in the world, would you want to go to space?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Why not?
Yeah. I don't know. So, Star Wars comes out once a year with a new movie. I don't really need to now go and get myself closer to everything else.
Oh, Ben, but I feel like when you have money, you'd want to explore all the things that, you know, you have access to exploring. No?
Yeah, no, I just hope a guy's never used that line on you. Ah, okay. Hello?
Good morning, Ben.
Hey, Gareth.
Good morning, Nola. Good morning, Sia.
Morning, Gareth.
And, my God, I'm stuck in the most hideous traffic and I have no idea what the problem is because I thought I'd be through it by now.
Okay. How's
not,
the
not ideal. I hate this, but every couple of months there's a real cock up on the highway and I don't know what the problem is.
Is it a blue light brigade?
No, if I had a blue light brigade, I'd be there already. What were you saying about Star Wars?
Well, you know, this whole thing about space, it's like, you know, we had that, was it Japanese billionaires here?
I think so, yes. Yakashu or Yashaku, I'm butchering the name. Starts
right.
With the Y. He's the one who paid to be on Elon's first trip to space.
Because, like, you know, when you get to a certain level of wealth, there's, like, certain things you've got to do. You've got to have, obviously, like, the supercars. You've got to be the pseudo-philanthropist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You've got to have all these kind of things.
Right.
And space being that sort of frontier, which is now maybe just a new show of wealth. But, like, even if I had all the money, I wouldn't want to do it. Because, you know, I get to watch Star Wars and I just, like, try to take myself there and imagine things.
You know what the problem is? And Bill Maher, who, you know, I love, and we often play clips of him from his show. Bill Maher says that is the stupidest thing. All these billionaires competing to get into space is the dumbest thing he's ever heard. They should be busy fixing Earth. That we can live here.
But yeah, but exactly. But now the billionaires always go, yeah, but we've got to push new frontiers to improve life.
Ah.
But I still believe it's a massive cockswinging contest. I agree with you and Bill on that.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous. And you know what the other thing he says is? Because he just donated $1 million to the Democrats for their campaign in the elections next year. And he basically says that the biggest problem, because someone said to him, how do you afford that? And Bill said, well, I don't have children. I don't have divorce alimony to pay for. and I don't have stupid hobbies like people who collect cars or want to go into outer space, any of that shit. He said, if I had any of those things, I wouldn't have the money to donate to the political causes I care about.
It's such a good point. It really is such a good point. But speaking of bills, Bill Cosby is sentenced.
Yes.
Yo. Guys, did we ever think this day would actually make it?
Well, you know, it's so interesting because in South Africa, we don't have any accountability for anything. And we've got a former president who was right at the top of a stealing pyramid like you've never seen in your life.
Yeah.
And he's still wandering around trying to cause trouble for the current president. He laughs whenever it's brought up. He says there's no such thing as state capture. And he just doesn't give a damn. And people start to wonder whether or not he'll go to jail. We have people like the Guptas who just live in Dubai as if there's never been a problem. They've got billions and billions of our dollars in their bank accounts, and they don't care either. We've got people like Tladani Maslangu who, you know, with that life estimate crisis, killed how many people?
Many. Yeah, exactly.
140 people, I think it was. And she just gets off scot-free, you know, to get the slap on the wrist. And there you've got Bill Cosby, who everybody thought, well, he's too much of a star, he's too old, he said nothing, he said absolutely nothing to incriminate himself since these things, he told every woman she's a liar. Look, he's a scumbag.
Sure.
He's an absolute scumbag, and none of us have any candle to hold for Bill Cosby. But he's finally going to jail.
Yeah, just like this whole thing, you know, one of the victims, you know, this is quite a telling line. Bill Cosby took my beautiful, healthy, young spirit and crushed it. And this is exactly what all these sexual offenders don't quite get. They just believe this is this power in the moment kind of thing. But it's, you know, after Bill has now left his change room or whatever, you know, his life goes on. But for these women, that's it. Their lives are forever tarnished, ruined, soiled by this absolute, as you say, just an absolute piece of shit. But now
he's a scumbag. And they've given him 3 to 10 years. Now, I tried to look this up because Ben already asked me, like, what does that even mean? It appears the law in Pennsylvania where he was sentenced is a lot more lax than the laws in places like California. But that could change in the next couple of months. So Bill Cosby's lawyers are trying to make sure that it is less than 10 years. And they're trying to get a definite number of years, because if the law changes while he's in jail, he could end up spending the rest of his very aged life in prison. So it could end up being like a life sentence anyway.
But now, I guess the big question is he literally going to, like, is he going to Oscar literally from trial to prison, or is he now, I don't know,
He's already in prison.
He's already in prison.
I know. So he actually, his steps walking into court were his last free steps out in public, because straight from court, he was taken to prison. He spent his first night at the Montgomery County Correctional Facility, which is just outside Philadelphia. But already there's sort of buzz or word around the fact that, yes, he might just spend a couple of years in prison, but most likely he'll end up, because of his age and some of the things that he has, you know, he's supposedly legally blind, so they might just ship him off to a long-term medical care unit.
Yeah, he's probably going to pull a Shabir Sheikh within the first couple of days, but the idea of these inmates pestering him for impersonations or stories about stuff, it's going to drive him insane.
He's going to have a tough time.
I don't know why you people are living so close to me. I'm used to having a lot more space.
Can you
imagine Camille? She's just gone, oh, thank fuck.
Right?
I can now enjoy his money without his sad glaucoma eyes in this house anymore.
Oh my god, and he looks like the creepiest man ever now, with that one eye that doesn't open properly, the other one that's all clouded over. It's a disaster. I mean, he really is a disaster. I'll guarantee you his medical issues, the ones that Sia just mentioned, aren't nearly as bad as he said in the trial, because he wanted mitigation of sentence. But this guy is now paying for crimes. And I think this is a victory, not just for, you know, women and the abuse of women. I think this is a victory for all kinds of people who feel that, you know, that they never got justice and that justice prescribed on them and that they ran out of options. Because here's a guy who, what, 30 years ago is convicted of crimes, or 30 years later is convicted of crimes that he committed 30 years ago. So it shows you the wheel does eventually turn, even for a famous guy like Bill Cosby, with all his money and with all of his advantages, and having lived the last 30 years with, we know about 50, but they're probably hundreds of women who he used to do this to. It is just unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But you know, if you want to test Bill's eyesight, just put some young girls around. I'm pretty sure he'll suddenly have 20/20.
Oh shit!
No, I really...
Listen, does this line sound okay?
Yeah, it's actually pretty good.
Right.
You know, when I heard about the sentencing last night, firstly I was a bit surprised because I didn't think it would reach that point. I really did think he'd get off on some account of his age or his elf or, you know, some loophole in the system. And then I started to look back at some of the things we've missed in the updates of his story over the past couple of months, and I found out that actually Bill did to a certain extent shoot himself in the foot. You know, he was told to stay at home over the past couple of months since his verdict was released and to his sentencing point. But he was supposedly having the craziest house parties over the past couple of months.
Really?
He was hiring jazz bands. The neighbors had to call the cops.
Kind of knew where he was going then.
Like, I mean, Bill, I really do think he could have, if he played his cards right, he could have really painted himself as his victim, say, look, he's 81 years old.
He obviously had an idea. I mean, this is how a person lives if they know they're going to die of a terminal disease, right?
You know, but he could have got house arrest or something. But if you were having house parties to the point where your neighbors were complaining, dude, you're an idiot.
I mean, this is the guy who was telling all the young black men in America to pull your pants up because you look like a fool.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's going to jail and he better keep his pants up. You know what? I think, despite all the things that we've said, and we've made a lot of fun of this whole situation because Bill Cosby's such a joke of a human being. But the fact is, like, I'm really, really happy for all those women.
Yeah, it is, like you were saying, it's just nice to see justice take a course on someone like this. And the fact he's going to jail. He's going to be eating this horrible sweet corn that's been in a can for like 3 years.
Ugh.
And he's going to have to like it as well.
I did tell you that I've once went to the prison in Pretoria to do a show from there.
Yeah.
And we got a guided tour around the prison and we met some of the inmates. And let me tell you something. Prison food is so revolting looking and smelling that you would only eat that if you were desperately hungry. It is disgusting. And I mean, I don't know whether it's any better in the prison that Bill's going to. Maybe it is.
Probably slightly better.
But oh, God, it's revolting. And the people who are in those prisons, you know, 3 years, because you think about 3 years, you think, it's too little for a creep like him. And you think 10 years is probably too little for a creep like him. Well, let me tell you, if you spent a week in jail, you would know all about it. It is that kind of horrible. And I don't doubt that for someone like Bill, who's lived this incredible life for the longest time, even a week in prison could kill a guy like that. I don't think he's going to live for 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we all want to be quite vindictive in times like this and think, oh, if only he was thrown in there like when he was younger and had more years. But you're right. I mean, this is the worst way to go out. And
it's horrible.
For whatever
it's
ignominious.
I mean, you've got this career that no one's going to remember now. In the first line of Bill Cosby's biography, for the rest of time, it's going to say convicted sex offender.
Well, that's it. He's on the list. He's actually on that list. But just think, like, everyone who's been involved in the whole Cosby show, everyone who's worked with him, also your career is tainted because you can't go anywhere without people saying, did you know? Did you know? You must have known.
Well, do you remember a lot of the members of the Cosby Show cast were supportive of him? They were like, oh, no, Bill would never do this. He was a great guy.
The
I wonder
actress
how
who
like,
played
Felicia
his
Rashad and company are feeling now.
Crickets, Gareth. I'm looking. I'm not seeing any sort of any comments about this. No one's coming forward and making any sort of big statements around the verdict. Obviously, Janice Dickinson and a few of the victims and obviously girls involved in this, they were over the moon about the whole verdict. So they were there. But no, you haven't heard any sort of big high-profile things.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I still can't believe that there were 50 women. 50! Just think about that. If you've drugged... I mean, if you've slept with 50 women in your life consensually, that's quite a good number. I mean, that's a that's a hell of a record, you know? I mean, we're not talking Julio Iglesias' 5,000 here, but we're certainly, you know, starting to make a dent. But to have drugged and basically molested and raped over 50 women, I mean, that's just unbelievable. That's serial. He must be one of the most serial criminals, sex criminals in America, in American history, in American legal history. Jeez,
what a title to have, huh?
Everybody's comedian to what they call them, the family, the America's dad, to being this the world's serial sex offender. Jesus, it's a horrible way to go.
Well, Bill, you laid your bed, now it's time. You made your bed, now it's time to lay in it. You know, because life at this county correctional facility where he's being taken really isn't the easiest at all. Even just Googling the name of it and the news stories that pop up, there have been these series of deaths and suicides from inside prison, and people, like, the deaths are still not accounted for. A man just on the 6th of September of this year was found dead in his cell. Two inmates died within 6 hours of each other a couple of months ago. So I know what happens in county, this county facility. But Bill, you're a skis booty, from hiring jazz bands for your party to now having to watch your back every moment of the day.
Lola, how do you feel about this? I mean, you know, you're a woman who's been watching this story along the way, and I'm sure that, you know, men and women's feelings on this might be quite different, because even though you don't have any candle to hold for Bill Cosby, I mean, what do you think of, like, an 81-year-old going to jail?
I feel that this guy is sick and has been for years. I mean, I don't think any normal person would have done what it did. A person of his, you know, social standing, so to speak, all he had to do really was to engage with women his age. You know, that's all he needed to do, really. He didn't have
conscious women his age.
Exactly, conscious, thank you. I think he's sick mentally. That's just my thing on this.
And he showed very little remorse throughout the whole court proceedings. And yesterday, he was a packed courthouse, and he was just cutting a very sort of solitary figure there, but he just didn't show any remorse. His face expression didn't really change.
Huh.
He's probably going to say it's because of the glaucoma, but no, I mean, this is a guy who I think right now knew and knows exactly what he was doing. And that's his thing.
We started talking about this right at the beginning, and you know, there wasn't even a Me Too movement then, remember?
Exactly.
It's 4 years, four long years of Bill Cosby being a story in everybody's world, he kind of lingering on the sidelines of the news, and now suddenly it's all over. It's kind of like the Oscar Pistorius trial in some way. Of course, that was a murder and Oscar wasn't a sex offender, and there are various very large differences, but you know, everybody gets swept up in these trials in different ways. And I say it every now and then, but no one cares. No one thinks about Oscar much anymore, right?
No
one's going to think about Bill in about a year and a half.
No, of course. Well, you know, once we've all already discussed, cross-examined everything, all the information in front of us, and there's no new information once you're in prison. Unless people start saying what he's doing in prison, we don't care, because the tap has stopped.
And what about Camille?
Would
what
you be interested to hear from
She's
her?
Happy.
I reckon she must be happy that it's because he's dragged her through this hell, right? And she's tried to be a supportive wife, and a lot of people have been very mean to her. But what are you going to do? You know, she knew her husband was a nutcase, but she kind of stuck by him, which I think is in some ways honorable. I mean, you know, you hear about mothers who refuse to accept that their children are murderers. You hear about brothers and sisters who help cover up their siblings' crimes. So I don't know that you can hold her responsible in the same way you must hold Bill responsible. And I kind of feel sorry for her. And I think she must enjoy Bill's money. She must go out there now and live a life, and you know, she must be accepted back into society, because she, as far as we can tell, she never aided and abetted him in all of this. She wasn't like his agent. You know how Josef Fritzl's wife was, you know, kind of helping him keep the children secret and all that stuff. I think you've got to be very forgiving of Camille, because this woman's been through her own hell as well, through the trial. Can you imagine what Bill was like to live with?
Well, can you imagine?
I don't know if I agree with that.
Neither really? Do I.
No. Look, we can't be empathetic as to how terrible her life has been. That's the choice she made. She decided to stay. She decided to protect him in a way, you know? If this was my husband, for example, for the first time when I become aware of what he's doing, I would try and seek help for him. And if that fails, then I don't think I would stand and support him, knowing exactly what he's doing. No.
Yeah, and
what if you'd been with him for like 40 years or whatever?
That makes no difference whatsoever.
I reckon she knew, and we said this a long time ago. I reckon she knew through the whole thing, and she just kept quiet because it's Bill Cosby.
Yeah. And her version of difficult, okay, yes, her life might have been difficult knowing that her husband does this and she's in the public eye where she's scrutinized for everything. Mm. But her level of difficult as compared to the difficulty a victim has to go through coping with this, multiplied by 50 other women, and you knowing, for me, my core says she knew something.
And
she might not have known all of
night.
The details, but she knew something. And to keep quiet and not do anything.
I don't think they slept next to each other.
And it's one thing if they had a marriage like Buffett and his wife, his first wife, where they lived on opposite coasts and different houses, and in the public eye they were still married, but you know, they didn't hate each other, but it wasn't a conventional marriage. If you still every single day saw this man, you went out in the public eye, there was a point where she wrote a letter about some of the accusers saying that they're
defending him.
No, that's
saying horrible
too far.
Things about the accusers.
Yeah, that's taking
all
it
right,
too
well,
far.
Look, we got to get to the five things you need to know. I know I'm giving directions from the middle of the traffic here, but I'm almost there. And you've got a couple of headlines we want to go through, and Ben's got some sports, so let's move.
Sure. So let's get into the five big stories that you need to know this morning. Well, Minister Kikaba yesterday went live in speaking about the new, what they call the simplified visa regulations. Well, the Tourism Business Council of South Africa is warning the requirement that foreign children carry documents will result in fewer visits to this country. So
what is wrong with Malusi Kikaba here? I mean, you know, we know that there is illegal child sex trafficking, right? But it is not an epidemic. There are not millions of children being ferried across our borders by child sex traffickers. So why is he doing this? Why would you be so that these kids must carry all these documents with them? Kids usually, if they're with the parents, you could prove they're the parents' children, they should go through. What the hell else do you need?
According to this new situation, well, now parents, particularly foreigners, will now be required to prove parental consent if a traveling minor doesn't have the correct documents. So this leads the Tourism Business Council of South Africa to say nothing has changed as far as we see it. You are not going to have a tourist all the way over here just to be questioned at the airport in terms of whether they carry their birth certificates or not.
I think we're one of the few countries in the world that force people to do this. And the only other countries that do it are loser, fucking shithole countries.
Mm-hmm. They continued on to say, we are positioned to employ a whole lot more people if we get more tourists to come into this country. So let us take away the regulations that are self-imposed so that we can be competitive in this world.
Right.
Don't know about this, huh?
I'm with the Tourism Council on this one. I'm afraid Malusi Kikaba has already proven that he's a state capture idiot and that he's a useless minister, and he should be fired. He really should be fired. I don't know how that guy's still in cabinet when all he has done to the South African people is lie to them. He is partly responsible for some of our biggest problems, like Eskom, and he's now messing up home affairs. This guy is a danger zone. Everything he touches turns to shit. Get rid of him.
Well, I guess he's got to double down on this because this is all he's got. The so-called moral high ground around kid trafficking is all he's ever had, other than side chicks, well-cut suits.
And expensive trips.
And expensive holidays. Trips for his wife, who he's trying to get back on the good books with. That's all. So this, he's obviously going to double down on this thing.
Yeah, you're probably right. This is his. This, he wants this to be his legacy. Well, some legacy. Cutting South Africa's tourist numbers down. That's ridiculous. This guy should be doing everything he can to let tourists come here and spend their money. Everything.
In the midst of all of that, he also announced that the development of a new e-visa is at an advanced stage and will be piloted in New Zealand next year. Moving on to the second story that you need to know this morning, we were talking about some saucy crimes and how you sometimes get siblings or parents standing up for each other. Well, three Soweto siblings have been arrested for allegedly killing their oldest brother during an argument. It's understood the altercation happened early yesterday morning at the family's home in Pretoria Glen. The trio claims their brother was drunk and started attacking them, and they fought back. And the police's Vincent Mashiteng says police found the three brothers in the house, and they allegedly confessed to the police that they killed their brother. They were arrested and charged with murder. Two of them are minors, aged 17 years old. And they are detained at a juvenile facility.
Ben, you used to fight with your brothers. I used to fight with my brother when I was a kid. It happens with boys, but I never killed anyone.
Yeah, I suppose because we had other things to do. If you got nothing, well, if you got nothing to do in life, you probably will end up killing them.
Jesus. Terrible. Ooh, tough on the streets, really Gareth. Terrible. We've got such social problems in South Africa.
Sure.
Ugh. The less said about that story, the better.
Oh, yeah. Just an update as well, the third story that you need to know this morning, an update on the driver of the bus from Limpopo.
Oh, the guy that tried to run to Zimbabwe.
Yes, who, and at last count, killing at least 9 people from the accident. Well, he was denied bail during his court appearance yesterday. He's facing 9 counts of culpable homicide and a charge of negligent driving. The suspect, as we discussed yesterday, was arrested when he tried to flee to his home country, which is Zimbabwe, after leaving the hospital where he was being treated along with other passengers who were injured in Friday's accident.
God, that is a horrible story. I'm glad they caught this guy, but, you know, I mean, can you imagine also, he must have realized he'd done something terrible. He must have realized he was going to be held responsible. And just, you know, in that minute, you do something crazy, you do a runner. And they caught him at the border, hiding in a meat vehicle or a packing vehicle of some kind.
And then the last two stories that you need to know this morning, going abroad. Pope Francis yesterday defended a landmark deal between the Vatican and China on the appointment of bishops, saying that he and not the Beijing government will have the final say on who is named. This is his first public comment on the deal signed in Beijing over the weekend on Saturday, where he told reporters on the plane returning from a trip to the Baltics that while he realizes not everyone will understand the logic behind the agreement, he was confident in the, his words, great faith of Chinese Catholics. He
hang on a second. He sounded like a franchise boss here.
Right?
No.
It's like, we're franchising Jesus to you heathens in China.
Yes.
I will tell you who the general manager is of this branch.
Yeah.
Look,
That's a very good allegory, Ben. Precisely what's going on.
Don't wear a white robe and think we'll keep quiet and not notice anything. Let's praise Jesus on Sunday, but what you do, you know, Monday to Saturday, we see that. When you're now getting into acts like these, shady, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, the Catholic Church should be able to appoint its own bishops. You know, the Catholic Church is the central authority for Catholicism, and in China, there's not a huge amount of religion, so we're not talking about gazillions of people. There is a small population by comparison with the general population of China of Catholics. And of course the Pope should be able to, but I always find these dealings between the Vatican and governments a little bit dodgy. I mean, you know, the Catholic Church was the first country, the Vatican was the first country to sign an agreement with Hitler when he established the Nazi regime.
Interesting.
And that agreement was, I mean, people don't talk about this because it makes a lot of Catholics uncomfortable, but the agreement was the Catholic Church will continue to be in charge of the education of German children. In return, they will accept the authority of the Nazi regime in Germany and will celebrate Hitler's birthday as a Catholic holiday. How's that? That was the first agreement that Hitler signed with any foreign power.
Think
about that.
Well, this deal gives the Vatican a long-desired say in the choice of bishops in China, though critics label the deal a sellout to the communist government. Now, in future, new bishops first will be proposed by members of local Catholic communities together with Chinese authorities, and then the names of those candidates will be sent to the Vatican.
All I can say, China, is lock up your children.
And then final story you need to know this morning. It is unclear how long the DA's internal probe into the leaking of confidential information will take. The investigation by the party's Federal Legal Commission comes after details of leader Musi Mamani's intention to stand as a Western Cape Premier candidate were leaked to the media. He eventually opted not to throw his hat into the ring. But now the DA's Western Cape leader, Bonginkosi Madikizela, says he's been asked to hand over his electronic devices as part of the probe, which he's now refused to do. In his comments on this, he says, "I share the concerns my colleagues have about people leaking information to the media. We must find better ways of dealing with these issues, because the kind of reaction from the leak, which required some of us to hand over our devices, I don't think that's helping."
Oh my God, imagine being in the DA. Everybody's looking they're looking behind their backs to make sure that the rest of the DA aren't spying on them or telling on them. Doesn't sound like a great place to be, right?
No, you don't want to just be giving your phone away. Look at all the porn he's got over through a long winter.
But also, I mean, if your employer is saying to you, give me your phone, it means they don't trust you, and it means you're not trustworthy, and it means that there are other people in the party who are, like, they're moles. They're selling information.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Those are the five things that you need to know this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Sia. Thank you. Sports. Yes, we're going to get into the sport. It is the Ryder Cup week. Ryder Cup starts on Friday with the actual playing. So tomorrow will be the opening ceremony where basically everyone just gets sort of trotted out in their fine clothes and there'll be some anthems and there'll be some flag bearing and there'll be a lot of toothy grins. But ignore all of that because everyone's going to be talking about the fact that, you know, this is golf's great, blah, 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 blah. These people do not like each other. They are in for the rivalry of all rivalries. So, Friday, what we're going to do is we are going to basically not go to work. I don't care if you're a golfer or not. From 8 o'clock, you must be in front of your TV. It's going to be absolutely incredible. So, there's about 8,000 people are going to be jammed onto the grandstand in the Golf National. So, that is the sort of big course in Paris. Now, it is made for this. I've been telling you about this the last few weeks. It is made for championship, stadium, golf, call it what you ever want to. It is just going to be quite something. You can literally, because it's in Europe, people actually know how to behave. So, it's not going to be like in America where they're just shouting USA and Baba Booey and mashed potatoes every 3 seconds.
You sent a picture yesterday or the day before of what the Ryder Cup is going to look like, or that was already when Tiger was playing just last weekend.
Yeah, so the stadiums have been up. People have been sending pictures all over. So, like the nerves. I mean, I've spoken to a few golfers who know guys who are playing, and they said, like, throughout your golfing career, you feel nervous. You feel a bit of a tremble in the forearms. Your stomach feels like it's in your mouth. Times everything by 73, and that's what the Ryder Cup is. So, just to know what these players are going through. Of course, going into the week, Tiger Woods is the big story because he won last week and everyone loves Tiger anyway. And the fact that he's now back to in a winning capacity, it's like the whole dream. But who is going to be paired with him? So obviously there's foursomes and there's the four balls. The foursomes is where you play alternate shots. So one guy drives, next guy plays a second shot. Who is going to be the best person to pair Tiger with? Well, people have been saying Phil Mickelson throughout the year because they've been playing practice rounds together. But also someone like Bryson DeChambeau. So what they've done is, ever since the Americans got absolutely hammered at Gleneagles, they've got into these little pods, they've made this whole strategic system whereby they can all get along with each other and play to their strengths. They won the last Ryder Cup at Hazeltine 17-11, and obviously are looking to do the same in Paris. So they've all these little pods, so Tiger Woods will be in a pod with, say, Phil Mickelson and Bryson DeChambeau. Bryson DeChambeau, little known fact, plays the same golf ball as Tiger Woods, I think they'll have a massive thing to do with it, because Bryson is, well, he's called the mad scientist in golf for a reason. The guy is just bizarre. He really is. I can't see him playing with the ball other than his, because mentally he won't be able to compute that. He just won't be able to do it. So they both play a Bridgestone ball. I'm going to say that is the sort of favorites to partner up with Tiger there. How much they'll play, am I entirely sure. I think Tiger's workload is going to be very well managed, because it's a long season. The guy's played so much. He hasn't played this much for so long. So long. And of course, the emotion and the stress and all that sort of the sort of shockwaves that go through a system during a winning week in golf, it really is quite something. You are absolutely drained. He's now in front of the world's media again, so he'll probably play once a day. So maybe he'll play a foursomes or a four-ball match. I don't think you'll see Tiger play every match. I don't think you'll see any golfer play all five matches. So foursomes, four balls, morning, afternoon for the first 2 days, and then we've got the Sunday singles. And of course, everybody wants to play against Tiger, because that will be the most high-profile match.
Did you ever believe you'd be saying that?
No.
That sentence, go Tiger.
I really wouldn't. It wasn't like I was trying to stir shit, but I mean, like I said yesterday, the guy could barely walk. He was taking...
He was a disaster.
He was taking all kinds of prescription drugs really badly. I mean, not Heath Ledger badly, but I mean, he was taking them really, really badly. And... yeah, I wouldn't believe it. Nike, to their credits, and I know I give these guys a lot of shit as well, but they've come out with this brilliant ad. So it's like a two-page magazine spread, and there's a picture of Tiger celebrating. We cut him in half, and it's just a picture of his back, which has obviously been the big problem. So on the left part of the page, it says he's done, and it's just a picture of his back. And then you turn to the right page to see him fist pumping, and the words, it again. Smart, hey?
Uh-huh.
Super smart. So we'll get more into the Ryder Cup tomorrow. But yeah, essentially, the Americans haven't won since 1993. That's when they won at the Belfry, long, long time ago. And the Europeans, well, they've won 7 out of the last 10. Now, the Europeans joined this in 1979, because the Ryder Cup used to be, well, it was United States versus Great Britain and Great Britain and Ireland, and it was just all one-way traffic. The Yanks won all the time. 1979, the Europeans kind of joined this whole thing as a bigger group, and through the 80s, they're sort of showing a lot of dominance, and, well, Europe have been the more dominant of the teams. They've played 19, they've won 10, lost 8, drawn 1.
Mm-hmm.
So more on that tomorrow. Man United aren't going so well at the moment. They're out of the Carabao Cup, which is that sort of League Cup thing, I think. They lost to Derby County on penalties, 8-7. Sure. They were leading at halftime 1-0. Romero got sent off. Fellaini got a late equaliser, but it wasn't enough because they got dicked in penalties. Now, it's a bit of a tough time for Man United. We were going to have a Man United expert in the studio today, but I don't know where he is. He's disappeared. But essentially...
Is he lost?
I don't know, Gareth. Maybe he just saw this result and just drove into a ditch. But Jose Mourinho, as we all know, this guy, he is the days of our sporting lives. Just drama. He's always got that face like a smacked ass, and he always believes he's too important for everyone else. But he's telling everyone else that no person is bigger than Man United. Of course, he's talking about Paul Pogba. And reports claim... Got to say the words "reports claim" because unless you see them come out of someone's mouth, you're going to be very skeptical in sport and in life. But reports claim that he's told Pogba he'll never captain Man United ever again because he doesn't like his attitude. He doesn't like his attitude. And Paul Pogba, of course, it was the guy who went for all that money to come over to Man United and be sort of like a silver bullet, which we all know is never going to work. But then last season, Mourinho was dropping him for big games here and there, and it's all just so petty. It's all so immature. Jose believes it's his way or it's the piss-off way. And I think a lot of his players aren't really responding to this. Now, Man United, of course, they spend so much money. And this is a team that just generates so much revenue. They are actually down. Broadcast revenue is down, I think, 20% with Man United at the moment. That is not good, yeah. 20% for the last quarter. So they are expecting a bit of an upturn in this. But the results are always what matters most. And Man United right now are not giving the results. So they're out of that cup. Although... they probably don't mind that because it gives them more chance to focus on the bigger things. Talking about bigger things, well, it doesn't get much better or bigger than the SABC partnering with Cricket South Africa.
Oh, how's that?
Well, of course it does. But, I mean, right now, Cricket South Africa...
But the SABC have no money.
Well, Gareth, that's...
Are Cricket SA going to give them some money?
Okay, spoiler alert. I think Cricket South Africa is going slightly towards the toilet. not a pit toilet, a decent urinal, but they're going towards a lavatorial stage as far as progress. And these guys, this whole T20 thing has been an absolute fiasco. We will never know what happened with Haroon Loggat and how he was turfed out of there. There's many rumors going around, which I obviously can't qualify at this stage, but I don't have a good feeling about where Cricket South Africa is going. Simple as that. And now SABC, they are seen as, let's put it this way very quickly. DSTV, SuperSport, MultiSport, they pulled out of this whole equity deal with Cricket South Africa. Now, Cricket South Africa just believed that SuperSport was going to basically broadcast this T20 global international kick-around league thing. That fell through, so that didn't happen. They basically bought all these different players. They had this big auction. It was all razzmatazz-ish, but then they had to give the players money back because they couldn't actually do the league. So now they're still working on a broadcast person to have this whole thing. Mnet again said, no thanks, not really in for it. So SABC, who, as Gareth rightly said, have no money. These guys don't know who they can pay right now or if they should be paying anybody. But they're in this whole partnership with Cricket South Africa. November, December this year, we're going to have this glitzy T20 league, and you can watch it live on SABC. In theory, this is amazing, because what does it mean? The whole country can watch cricket. I'm all for that. That's brilliant. But we all know a long time ago, the SABC lost its interest in being a state actual broadcaster, as in enriching the lives of everybody through showcasing all kinds of things. They're nothing but a government mouthpiece, which then became this just absolute pit of just misappropriated funds, like terrible expenditure. It's an absolute joke, as you'd know, because you don't pay your TV license. And even the TV license people aren't as cutthroat as they used to be, Gareth. Someone called me yesterday and just stated the obvious, how I owe X amount, blah, 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 blah. And I just kept saying, yes, yes, yes. And then she said, well, how much can you pay? And I said, none.
They just leave you alone?
I said, I have no interest in paying this. And the woman just said, okay.
And then that was not the response she was waiting for.
That was the end of the conversation. I am being dead serious. That was the end of the conversation.
And she hung up?
Just gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, at least they've realized with you that it's a dead end. You know, if they kept calling, trying the same thing, they would be insane.
So I want to be optimistic about the fact that if we can get cricket broadcast to the masses, that's brilliant. But SABC, unfortunately, are an absolute joke. And now Cricket South Africa and these guys are saying, well, it's a win-win. Ah, Cricket South Africa, how you have fallen, how you have fallen. And sure, SABC needs Cricket South Africa to restore some credibility. But I mean, really? What have we learned in the last 5 years that would make any of us excited about this deal? I'm going to go with slim to bugger all nothing. Speaking of the cricket, Faf du Plessis is still recovering from his shoulder injury, so he won't be taking on the might of Zimbabwe later this month, September the 30th, October the 3rd, and October the 6th. Those will be your ODI matches. They're playing in the metropolis of Kimberley, Bloemfontein, and Paarl. And then they're hoping that Faf can be back to lead the T20 squad in three T20s against the self-same might of Zimbabwe. No disrespect to Zimbabwe, but I've got to say cricket season is not going to start for me until after this. No biggie.
Okay.
And that's pretty much all for the sport. I know I've rambled on a bit, but I mean these are big things in our lives. Broadcasting, Paul Pogba, and of course the Ryder Cup. But basically, it's nothing else matters this week other than the Springboks and the Ryder Cup. I know there's other sports and power to them, but the Ryder Cup's going to be the biggest thing. Don't believe me, just watch that first tee and you'll see what I'm talking about. It is absolutely, it's just insane. They should play this every year. They should play this every month. Just keep doing it. The Ryder Cup is just the greatest thing. It really is.
Awesome.
So yeah.
By the way, I didn't get to, I just want to throw in quickly the cryptocurrencies. Bitcoin, $6,397, and Ethereum, $211. And while we're talking about money, and cryptocurrencies are obviously a kind of money, Smart Money is a series of financial tips for different life stages. Maya Fisher French, who's terrific, has been speaking to various experts, and they've helped us to try and find the answers to pressing financial questions. You have those questions, I have those questions. Everybody wants to get their finances in order. And there's no better time than now. You're spring cleaning your house, you're spring cleaning your life. You might as well spring clean your finances, right?
Damn right, yeah. It's all the same.
So she's going to present for you a series which you can download. You can binge listen to all of it if you want to. Financial wellness comes into it, saving for retirement, make sure you get the correct health care, navigating the gig economy, saving from a millennial perspective, how getting married affects you financially, and a whole lot more. Smart Money is brought to you by Discovery, getting your money right for your life. And that is every Wednesday at 9 a.m. if you like to listen live. All 12 episodes are available on cliffcentral.com, on the Cliff Central app, or anywhere you get your podcasts. Mine download automatically to my podcast app once I'm subscribed, and you can do that for this series too. Said by Sia. What do you got for us, Sia?
Well, I always love being able to salute people who are doing great things. And this morning, well, I have a story of 16 South African firefighters who are being praised in the U.S. So a fire crew of 16 South Africans arrived in the U.S. about 2 weeks ago to help fight the Ho Ridge fire.
The what fire?
Who?
The Ho Ridge fire. Oh, no, not the Ho. There's a ridge full of hoes that's on fire?
I should get the one of the firefighters are ready for that one.
I can see why this said by Sierra is a really positive one, because there was a ridge full of hose on fire and someone helped put it out.
For the purposes of this story,
we
I'm just
is not
going
on
to
fire.
Mispronounce it and go How Ridge, okay?
Okay, all right.
in Montana, supposedly it was happening at this national park, and these South Africans have been praised for not only the amazing work that they've been doing in aiding the fire, but also in the spirit and the genuine South African geest that they've brought to the entire situation. So it's a wildfire in the Glacier National Park in the U.S. state of Montana. It was ignited by a thunderstorm back in August, and we know how when fire starts to spread, really it can go on for weeks at a time. And this fire was located on the northwest side of Lake McDonald, and several other fires were also started near the park due to the storm, and it's been raging on for the past couple of weeks. 13 residencies have been affected by this. The Montana state is saying that the cost associated with fighting the fire has reached $6.6 million.
Sure.
Officially, the damage that the fire has made has cost the state over $12 million since August the 11th. And there've been a team assembled of over 130 personnel, but it's supposedly the 16 South African firefighters who've really taken over the task, who've really just spearheaded this whole plan to just get the fire done, and they're now being saluted. So we don't know their names just yet, but Tony Kurth, who is on behalf of the Rocky Mountain Fire Company, who is doing a lot of work with the current fire happening in Montana, has really praised the team that has been assembled and flew over to Montana to help. And I think this is so great.
I reckon firefighting is a really, really difficult business. You know the firefighters are the ones who scrape the bodies off the road when there's an accident. The firefighters are the ones, it's not the EMS people, the emergency medical services people. The fire people have to do all that really grisly stuff.
Yeah, it really is. You're an emergency service in yourself. A fire is just a way to categorize it.
And the fire, when you do fight a fire, I mean, there is a very good chance that you could asphyxiate yourself. It's dangerous, it's hazardous, you don't know how much structural damage there is to any building you run into. It could collapse on you, you could collapse into it. There's a lot that can go wrong. These are some of the bravest people. And remember in 2001, September the 11th, the bravest people there were the firefighters by a long way. And we mustn't underestimate the contribution these guys make. And in South Africa, I'm afraid they're grossly underfunded.
Yep.
We have a major problem. In that some areas in South Africa do not have a fire station at all. You know, this is where you need a government. I'm one of those people who always says less government is better.
Yeah.
But one of the things that government should be doing, providing fire services, fire medical emergency services. The guys who can be first responders in a crisis, who can put out massive dangerous fires like this, and we get lots of those in South Africa, and who can go into buildings that are on fire and rescue children, and do all the other stuff that firefighters are the only people that that can do that stuff, you know?
And to think about the fact that our team was called to go over to the US, supposedly the decision behind that is because our regions here in South Africa and regions in the States, particularly in Montana, are very similar. So our team here know how to work with dry arid land or wide spaces of land, etc., etc. But, you know,
expenses,
a few months ago in the city of Montecito in California, there were great fires and then there were landslides because of those fires. And I remember just after that happened, one of the superiors actually stood up to thank the team who was working on it. And it's something very, this raw emotion to see someone who's just sincerely thankful to the team. And he said, and I'll never forget this, and I'm paraphrasing though, saying that there's something about emergency workers and the way they define our natural instinct. Because with humans, when we are in a line of danger, our natural instinct is to run away from it.
That's right. These guys run towards it.
They have to run towards it, and they do this great work. So really, just for that, I want to raise that for Set by Sia this morning.
Very nice.
Thank you, Sia. Very well, very nicely done. Jennifer says, I just watched Pope versus Hitler over the weekend, and they seem to have left a bit out about the information you gave us, Gareth.
Yeah.
The movie was about how the Pope tried to have Hitler killed.
No. Go and look it up. The first international agreement signed by the Vatican was with, signed by the Nazi state with Hitler as chancellor was with the Vatican.
Funny how the Vatican probably funded that movie. I would not draw that out. Thanks, Jennifer. And then Pavalo says, good morning, bugbears. Where can we find the video of Nolo ninjutsuing the door into the building? I want to see it with my own eyes. Nolo, any backup on that?
I think, didn't we put it up on the site?
No, it's not on the site. It's on my Instagram.
Well, we'll put it up on the Gareth Cliff Show Instagram as well.
Okay, cool.
All right, well, that draws the first hour to a close. We are going to change some seats. We're going to have a look where Gord is. And
No, Gord's not
Gord's
coming in.
Gord's coming in on Friday.
Yeah, he let me know. Sorry. Gord, he responds differently every week. Sometimes he lets Sia know. Sometimes he lets me know. It's very random. But don't worry, we know what's going on.
The look on Ben's face. So.
Okay.
All right. CliffCentral.com.